Thank you for joining us for this online version of Pastor Randy Johnson's sermon from Florida Boulevard Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We pray this message will impact your life and challenge you to draw closer to Jesus Christ.
If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. As I mentioned last Sunday morning, there are three unique messages that I want to deliver to our church, and last week was specifically about something general. That is, it was specifically about the Great Commission, the call that God has put on our church and every church as a scriptural vision, something from the Bible, a prophetic vision that comes from Scripture, a scriptural vision that God gives to our church and to every church to go and make disciples and to teach them to obey and to be the disciples that God has called them to be. And so the framework for who we are as a church is to be disciples and make disciples. That is our scriptural vision. And what I want to do today and then next Sunday is speak more specifically about a specific vision. And that is, how are we as a church going to go about being the disciples that God wants us to be? What is the specific method that we might use as a church, or we're going to use as a church, to train and equip and teach and help and encourage and enlist and be the disciples that God wants us to be? Well, there's a unique passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that deals with running. And of course, I don't have to tell you, as you've already been well aware, of all the attention that was given this past week to the Boston Marathon, the tragedy and the senseless tragedy that happened there on Monday, the bombings there and people becoming injured and losing limbs and several dead, and just the horrific, senseless attack. You also saw things in the news that happened in Texas with the fertilizer plant and the package that was sent with the poison in it. And all these things that happen. And we think as a church, you know, what is our response? Well, our response as a church is obviously to pray and to ask the Lord to minister to those that have lost loved ones or dealing with the injuries that they sustained and trying to put it all together in what seems to be a completely crazy world, a sin-infested world. But one of the things that we as a church must be committed to when we see things like that is we must be even more committed to be the disciples God wants us to be, because it is only the gospel that gives people the life change that affects their heart, their mind, their life, their behavior, their beliefs, everything they do. And when the Holy Spirit is in control, people don't set bombs. When the Holy Spirit is in control, people don't mail poison. When the Holy Spirit is in control, like the choir just sang, "Move in me, then I don't find myself doing those things that I ought not to do that displease the Lord, but I find myself wanting to glorify Him." And so as I run through this Christian life, as I live, there may be times that I need to find out how well am I running. There may be times that I need to help somebody else to run a little bit better. You know, some of the people that ran the Boston Marathon, some of the first to cross the finish line, were actually military personnel. They ran in fatigues and full gear and boots and all that stuff, carrying American flags. Some of you may have seen their picture. But it wasn't long after they finished the race and crossed the finish line that they then had to turn around and, instead of being runners in a race, had to be part of the cleanup, part of the help, and part of the rescue and safety. And that's what God has reminded us about the race that we run as Christians. There are times that we need the focus and attention on our race, and then there's other times that we need to turn our focus to those that are injured, those that are not running well, those that are lagging behind, and those that are not all that God wants them and calls them to be. So how can we as a church be the disciples that God wants us to be to impact the kingdom and to advance the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 teaches us, in a short, brief passage of Scripture, how to do just that. If you'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, to the end of that chapter, the Bible says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. There's two wonderful truths that the Bible teaches us in this text today when we're thinking about the specific vision of how, as a church, are we going to be the disciples that God has called us to be. The first thing I want you to notice this scripture teaches us is obviously we understand that this discipleship process needs discipline. And so we must first of all be disciplined to finish. Disciplined to finish the race. You notice what Paul said in verse 24 about finishing the race and the discipline required to do so? He said, "Do you not know that in a race," verse 24, "all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it." He's saying that when the runners begin, when the gun goes off and the runners line up and then the gun goes off and then the runners begin to run, they run with one goal, and that is to finish first. Now, as a Christian, we understand that we're not competing against one another. And we're not in this race trying to do better than one another. But what we do as a Christian is we run this race of faith and faithfulness, and the purpose is to finish well. The purpose is to be first in the sense of overcoming sin and being so convicted and led by the Holy Spirit that we run with great endurance and with great faithfulness and we stay true to the course. Paul says, when the runners begin to run, they all have the same goal, and that is to finish well. And when you think about a race, and you think about all the runners, can you imagine when the gun goes off and the runners begin to run that in a 26.2-mile race, after 0.2 miles, somebody says, "Well, that's good enough. I mean, the other 26 miles, yeah, that's part of the race, but I did my 0.2, and so I'm good." Or somebody's so dedicated, so determined, this, "I'm going to run all 26.2, and they run 26, and then they're like, "Yeah, that's good enough." And you're so close, you've run all day, you've gone 26 miles, you only have 0.2 left, and then they say, yeah, I'm good, I quit. No, Paul says, when you start the race, because you're a runner, you have one goal, and that is not to just run a little, or run most, or run almost all, but to run through the finish line and to finish well. Christian, I'm telling you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God has not called us to start, God has called us to finish. And as a church, we must not be content just to exist, just to be here, but to run well and to finish the race and to do what God has called us to do. Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus come again? Then we still have a race to run. There are still miles ahead of us left to go. Some of our runners may be new. Some of our runners may have just gotten out of the baptistry this morning. Their hair is still a little wet. Some of our runners may be tired. Some of our runners that may have been running for quite some time and they're getting weary. We as a church need to be about finishing well. And whatever stage of the race we're in, as long as the Great Commission is before us, then we must run to finish the race. And Paul also says in verse 25, he said, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. You notice he mentions self-discipline. I know those are lovely words that everybody loves. And you think discipline, you always think good, sweet, cheery, wonderful, pleasant things, don't you? You hear the word discipline, you think of getting a spanking or sticking your nose on the blackboard at school or banging erasers when you were a little kid. Some of you remember what erasers are. But you think of discipline, you think that's not good. But what the Bible speaks of discipline for the Christian is it is for our good. It helps us to run well. It helps us to finish. And we discipline our bodies. Have you seen people that run? You know, there's all kinds of runs. Yesterday there was a color run. There's a run for this and a run for that and a cure for this. And you know, lots of people enjoy running. And on wonderful causes will cause people to get out and run and do these wonderful runs. Have you seen my wife? She's a runner. You seen me? I ain't a runner. Runners have to be disciplined. They've got to love it. They've got to get out. They've got to have the right shoes. They've got to have the right outfit. See, I purposefully don't buy the right shoes so that I can say, you know, I don't have good running shoes, and that's my excuse, and that's why I'm sticking with it. But if you see a runner, you know that they're disciplined, they're dedicated, they want to do it, they enjoy it, and they run for what's called fun. I don't get that. But in order for a runner to run 26.2 miles or 5K or 10K or whatever, they have to do certain things. They can't eat junk food all the time. They have to eat certain foods to condition their bodies to run well. They have to have what's called stamina, endurance. They have to have the wind inside of them to go. And if you don't, you won't finish. You'll get cramps and your leg will start to hurt and you'll just give up. Well, listen, as a Christian, what exercises are you doing to discipline your body to be able to run and to finish? I mean, some of us may be so full spiritually and we do no exercise to be healthy. You know, sometimes it takes us getting involved in a ministry or getting involved in some kind of a service opportunity for us to find out just how spiritually healthy we are. You know, if your first adventure as a Christian is a 26.2 mile marathon, you start at the finish line and you say, you know what, everybody else here is a runner, I'm going to be a runner, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to do it and I'm going to finish. And then by like point two, then you're grabbing your side and you're looking for Gatorade and you're looking for a tent to lay down. Running's probably not your thing. You're probably not conditioned enough to run the race. Paul says a runner, an athlete, one who is involved in this calling that God has put on us, disciplines themselves so that they are healthy. As a Christian, we must learn to be spiritually healthy and incorporate certain disciplines in our life to help us to run and to finish. There was a young man in March the 6th, 1987, Amon Coghlan. He was an Irish world record holder in the 1500 meters, and he was running in a qualifying race in Indianapolis. And he started the race, and he was a world record holder, and he started the race, and he tripped. And he got right back up, and he started to run, and he pulled back up to the pack just in time toward the end to get third, to be in third place as they're running and finishing the race. And he thought, well, that's good enough to qualify. I'm kind of looking around, and I'm gonna slow it down a little bit, and I'm gonna finish third, and that's good enough to qualify. Well, somebody else behind him noticed him slowing up, and ran a little bit faster, and 1 yard from the finish line, passed him up, and he was disqualified. Did not make first, second, or third. You know, sometimes as a Christian, we don't discipline ourselves enough and well enough to run well. We sometimes discipline ourselves enough as a Christian to get by, to know just enough. Sometimes we're asked to teach a Sunday school class. We find out real fast where we are in our Bible knowledge. We're asked to share our faith. We find out real fast how effective we know how to share our faith. We're asked to pray for people in our Sunday school class, and we forget all week long. And we find out just how effective we are in our prayer life. And those are just a few. We must be disciplined to finish. The second thing Paul teaches us is we must be disciplined for faithfulness. Not just to finish the race, but for faithfulness in the race. Notice what he goes on to say. Not only must be exercised self-control, but he says in verse 26, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Now, get this in your mind. Here's a race, and everybody lines up. The gun goes off, And out of a million runners, you've got one nutcase who decides, you know what, I want to run this way. And everybody else goes this way. And he says, you know what, I haven't been over there. I think I'm going to run over here. You know what, I've had enough of that. I'm going to run over this way. Or you know what, you ever seen people that just kind of make their own path in life? As a Christian, there is no other path. There's no aimless running and purposeless running in the Christian life. There is one path that God has laid out for us. And Paul says, if I'm going to be a faithful athlete, I have to faithfully run the path that God has set out for me. Not the one that I choose, not the one that I prefer, but the specific path. Now, as a church, we know that the specific path that God has laid out for us scripturally is the Great Commission. We have no choice but to be disciples and to make disciples. And as a church, we're going to be even more specific in how we go about faithfully making biblical disciples. Not just aimlessly, not just hoping we make disciples, but purposefully and specifically doing so. And you're going to hear some specifics today, but you're going to hear even more specifics in the days and weeks and months to come. And we're going to just, as a church, get so faithful to the Word of God and so faithful to what He's called us to do, we're going to see lives transformed all around us. Not aimlessly, but with a focus, with a purpose, with a vision. He says in verse 27, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." That is, that when we say as a church, when I say as a pastor, and you say as a church member, as a Christian, a believer in Christ, I'm going to discipline my body to be like this, to do this, to carry out this function, that I'm going to be faithful to live it out so that anybody who looks at my life can see faithfulness and me finishing and running well, and they can follow and imitate the race that I'm running. Let me ask you this. If a brand new believer was to shadow you for a week, for a month, for a year, would it change how you live? Would it change how you discipline yourself and how faithfully you run the race? Is it enough just to know that even if someone's eyes are not on you, some other Christian's eyes are not on you 24/7, is it enough to just know that God's are? And so that we don't make little out of the gospel and little out of the Holy Spirit and grieve the fact that the Holy Spirit gives us conviction and leadership and all of those things, can we just say for the sake of faithfulness, I want to discipline my body so that not only am I faithful, but when other people see me as a model to imitate, that they too will see faithfulness? Is that enough? You'll notice in your bulletin there are 7 spiritual disciplines. I want you to take note of what these are and go through those very quickly and share with you. Here's a couple things that I want to do specifically with these 7. Now, I want to tell you, first of all, how these 7 spiritual disciplines came about. I didn't come up with them. I didn't write them. I didn't put them in the Bible. They were already there. But when I got on the plane to go to China this last time, I'd been asking God for a couple of months, God, lead me, give me something, show me, what does our church need? I felt like as a pastor that I just didn't have my hand on it, my thumb on it. I felt like I had been irresponsible as a leader in not being clear and specific and offering that kind of direction. And I felt burdened by that. I got on the plane to go to go over there. And I was going over there to teach a course on spiritual disciplines, 12, as a matter of fact. And I'm sitting on the plane, and I'm reviewing this stuff, and all of a sudden, it's like God took the textbook and just went pow, right over top of my head. And I thought, how can I teach these pastors on the other side of the world how to make disciples in their church, and here we are not even being specific and how we do it. We don't have a set process and a clear, specific way that we know as a church. Here's how we develop disciples. So of those 12, I narrowed them down to 7 that I felt like would be extremely helpful and crucial for us as a church. The first one is Bible study. How do you study the Word of God? I don't mean how many times do you read it. I mean how many times do you really just squeeze every ounce of life out of the Word of God and read it to give you direction and leadership and to speak to your life? Do you know how to study God's Word? See, one area that I really want to see in all 7 of these, I want you to notice in every Sunday school class an intentional focus on all 7 of these spiritual disciplines. I'm going to be meeting with our Sunday school teachers and directors and leadership here in the next few months. And we're going to have some other folks come in and help with teaching, trying to get the most out of the curriculum, most out of our time as a class. And so you're going to notice these 7 things pop up in Sunday school. Another thing that we're going to do is we're going to have a personal evaluation tool so that you could take all 7 of these spiritual disciplines and find out where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are. For example, you might say, hey, Brother Randy, I'm a strong Christian. I've been a Christian since I was 9 or 10 years old, and I'm a strong Christian. You take and use this evaluative tool, and you might find that you are strong in 3. Maybe Bible study, prayer, worship. I mean, you are top-notch. But those other 4, you don't even know how to spell. I don't know how to share my faith. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to give. I've never even thought about it. These are spiritual disciplines to help us to be healthy as a Christian. Bible study is the first one. You notice that the second one is prayer. How do you learn to pray? I mean, this is a spectrum here, folks. Some of you have been praying most of your life. Do you pray biblically? Do you pray according to the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Do you know how to intercede for other people? Do you know how to pray for lost people? I want us as a church, for every Christian, every person who's a member of this church, to know how to do that. Worship. What is worship about? How do I worship in spirit and in truth? How do I give the Lord the very best that I have in worship? What if I don't like the song? What if I'm not getting something specific out of this message? What if, you know, how do I worship at home when it's just me? How can I worship in my car as I'm driving? How do I really sense the Holy Spirit moving in my life and I want to worship corporately? Fellowship. Eating. Well, we know how to do that. No, that's not the biblical idea of fellowship. Some of you may come to an eating social and think, I have fellowshipped all I want. Or some of you may be on a diet and say, well, I can't fellowship today. It's not eating. It's relationships. How much am I developing close, personal, accountability type relationships with other people? How am I encouraging the body? How am I loving people when they come? How am I letting others know that they are welcome to be part of the family of God? Do I do all that I can to enhance the fellowship of our church? Service. Am I using my spiritual gift for the benefit of the body? First of all, do you know your spiritual gift? Some of you have known it for years. Some of you have served in the past and you're maybe not currently using that spiritual gift. Do you know that in order to be a disciplined, spiritually healthy Christian, you cannot take time off from serving? You cannot say, well, you know, I served for 10 years and I'm done, I'm good. You see, Jesus hasn't come back yet, folks. There's more to learn. There's more room to grow. There's more needs that arise. There's more things that we do as a church. And so we need to be faithful to serve and to give our very best in how God has put us together. Evangelism, learning to share our faith, probably the number one thing as a Christian that makes everybody nervous. How do you articulate the truth of the gospel? How do you lead somebody to understand what it means to be saved? Does that petrify you? Does that excite you? I want every member of our church to be faithfully equipped, whether you've never shared your faith or you've led dozens of people to Christ. I want every member to know how to share the basics of what it means to be a Christian and to find an effective way to share your faith. And then giving. Financially, being a good steward of the resources that God has given, and how you can support what God is doing in the life of our church by making that a spiritual discipline. Do you know that when I went over there, I had those pastors ask me, how do you teach people to give? Our folks aren't giving anything, and the Bible says to tithe and give 10%. And so I showed them how they could do. You know, we need a method of teaching and equipping, starting out with the little ones and teaching them how to give. Some of you remember when you grew up in Sunday school, when you were, you know, as they say, knee-high to a grasshopper, you learned how to give. And we need to teach our children. We need to teach our students. We need to teach our young adults. We need to teach everyone what it means to support what God's doing by being faithful to be good stewards. You know, there are times in your Christian life that you're going to evaluate, how well am I running? Many of you remember the 1992 Olympics, and Derek Redmond took off in that race. And as soon as the race started, he popped his hamstring. He was a British runner, and he immediately started to have problems. It's a terrible injury, obviously, to a runner, but to anyone, but especially to a runner, to tear your hamstring and all that muscle tension back there as you're running that race. And he popped it right at the beginning. He hobbled most of the way through the race. And he got there toward the end, and all the other runners had long finished the race. And here he was, basically on one leg, tears streaming down his face, just in agony and in pain. And all of a sudden, this guy came out and ran past all the security. Some of you have seen the video. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This guy ran right out of the stands, put his arm around his son, Derek, and helped his son to finish the race. And both of them just crying, his dad just encouraging him the whole time, and he's crying just in pain, but also just overwhelmed with emotion that someone was helping him to finish. Friends, sometimes we feel as though we are not running well. Whether you're a pastor or a staff member, a Sunday school teacher, a senior adult, a student, some of us have not disciplined ourselves well enough to run faithfully and well enough to finish. And it's going to take someone to come alongside of you and help you and encourage you, who knows what it's like and can say, you're not on your own. We don't shoot the wounded. We encourage everyone to run well and to finish. But you see, what the Bible speaks about is, in order to start that race, just like every one of those that were baptized this morning, we must first of all start the race by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you today, please don't move or close your Bibles or do any of that. Just listen. I want to ask you today, do you know for certain that if you were to die right now, if you walked out of the sanctuary and you dropped dead in the parking lot, do you know without any shadow of a doubt that when your life is over, that you have eternal life, would spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ because you've placed Him as Savior and Lord of your life and given Him everything and received His grace and mercy and forgiveness? If you've never done that, if you have no confidence that you've been born again, that we're going to have a time of invitation right now. And the steps that you can take from your seat to the front of these steps is the beginning of your race and your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendering everything to Him and being born again. If you, as a Christian, as a mother, as a father, as a Sunday school teacher, as a deacon, if you feel as though there are things in your life, you look at that spiritual discipline list and you feel deficient in some areas and you want to ask God, God, help me to grow. Help me to be the disciple you want me to be so that I can finish and so that I can be faithful. Then this time of invitation is for you too, friend. Ask God to speak to you. Pray right where you are. Pray at these steps like we did last Sunday. Commit your life, your family, your home, everything that you are to grow in these areas. And when we lay out specific ways that you can grow in these, that you jump all over it and say, I need to be healthy. Maybe you want to be a part of what God is doing and you, like some of these, have been coming for a long time and you've never been baptized. You've never moved your letter to be a part of what God's doing here at FBBC. This is a great time to be part of what God's doing because we have a great future a great race ahead of us as a church that we're going to run faithfully and that we are going to finish by God's grace and for His glory. Would you stand with me as we pray and we respond to God and to His word? Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us and how we can respond to this time of invitation. Lord, we love You and we thank You, Lord, for loving us. We're unworthy of Your grace, but we're thankful, Father, that You have called us and given us the opportunity to be saved, to be forgiven, and to walk through and run through this life, quick as it seems, but run that race and that journey for You. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that needs to be saved, that You would speak to their heart right now. Lead them by the Holy Spirit to give everything they have to You and receive Your gift of forgiveness. Lord, other decisions that need to be made, may Your Holy Spirit give us leadership and guidance to make those decisions for Your honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Randy Johnson. If you have questions and you desire to speak with someone about what you've heard, please contact us at 225-272-3740 or via our website at www.fbbc.org. If you are in the Baton Rouge area, we invite you to worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:15. Come learn how to be a disciple and make disciples.